The book of Nehemiah. I'd like to start reading just a few scriptures, if you would bear with us, in chapter number 6 and verse number 15. I'll read two verses this morning. Nehemiah chapter number 6 and verse number 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. It's been down 150 years, 9 months since he'd got the burden. People got together, they milked some 4 to 5 miles of walls out of rubbish. It came to pass when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen, there's an outbreak of them today, somebody say amen, that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Now, you may be seated this morning. We've been in the book of Nehemiah now for a few Sundays. Turn with us, if you would, in chapter number 1 and verse number 2, the Bible said that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. He wanted to know something about the homeland. The remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province, the brethren told him this. They're in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down. And the gates thereof are burned with fire. Verse number 4, we'd preached that morning on the burden of Nehemiah. Said it came to pass when I heard these words, as anybody heard the news of the shape that we're in. Don't take you long to pick up a paper or turn on the news channel and you'll see what's going on. Matter of fact, it don't take you far to look. I wonder, has anybody got the news about the shape that we're in? And I like what he done. Came to pass when he heard these words that I sat down and wept. We don't see much tears on the altar no more. He wept and he mourned certain days, and here's a word not many Baptists know about, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Ain't you glad that there's been some men in your lives that's had a burden for the things of God? I'm glad we've got a family that has been before us this morning that's had a burden for many years. That's carried them down the road when nobody else was applauding. Nobody else was saying amen. They just kept on singing. Can I tell you what to keep you on singing and going on is a good burden from the Lord. Many of you, you're burdened over many things except the right thing. We ought to be burdened about the things that are lacking in this day and this hour. So we shared the thought about Nehemiah and his burden. Then secondly, we had went over to chapter number 4 and we talk about Nehemiah and his battles. He said in verse number 1 of chapter 4, it came to pass when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he is wroth. He took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Now, if you're going to do anything for God, there'll always be a battle. Matter of fact, if the devil's not battling you, I would check up to see what you was doing it for. I heard this morning of another pastor that is resigning of a good local church. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you think building walls is no opposition, then you need to pick you up a trial and a book. Amen. And when you go to building a wall up for your family, you'll find out that God will bless you, but you'll find out there are battles in this life to keep you from building walls for your family. Thank God for the young people behind me this morning that mom and daddies have got a burden to build a wall up for their family. I sure am glad for young people that'll be left around when we leave off the scene to know something about building and about the blessing. Boy, about a burden. And so you'll notice in the thought process of chapter number 4 about this enemy or this battle. I said in chapter 4, verse 1, he's a hearing devil. He's around. Be careful what you tell him, because he'll pick up on it. Now, the devil is not omniscient, he's not omnipotent, and he's not omnipresent. But our God is. Our God's over there, and he's over here. But I will remind you, the devil is a spirit, and he's a wicked spirit. And he can get from one place to the next in a hurry. And he's got his forces. If you'd come on Wednesday night, you'd know a little something about it. Amen. About the principalities and the powers of this warfare. He has a rank and they are our opposition. The devil's not your friend. He's not your buddy. Matter of fact, you'll find out he's a hearing devil because he's around. Number 2, he's a heated devil because he's angry. The Bible said he was wroth. Now the devil's not going to be upset with you if you're stooped down in religion. The devil's not going to mess with you unless you really determine to do something for God. But when you do, you better realize that the devil will get angry on you. Amen. And so Nehemiah faced this opposition, this battle. He's a hearing devil. He's around. He's a heated devil. He's angry. And then in chapter 4, verse 7, he brought new devils with him. He's a hatching devil. He's abundant. It's more than him. If it was only him, we'd have it made. But it's all of them folks that he influences and that third of them angels that fell with him that give us our problem and our opposition. But boy, aren't you glad that there's a verse in our Bible that says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we found out that Nehemiah had opposition. He's a hearing devil. Be careful what you tell him. Young people, don't tell him your weaknesses. He'll pick up on it. And certainly he's a heated devil, a hatching devil. He's a hindering devil. He's active. He'd love to shut this church down. He'd love to shut your family down. These little babies you bring in the house of God, he'd love to discourage you in such a way that they'd never get under the Word of God. Can I tell you, it's still the Word of God that's getting things done today. He said he chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Amen. I sure do. I'm glad. Thank God he's in the preaching business. And I'm going to tell you, it don't matter who's a preaching it, Lord, long as he's a using the right kind of Bible. I said, long as he's a using the right kind of Bible. And so God's Word is effective and it stirs the devil up. But now this morning, I want to focus in on another thought in Nehemiah chapter number 6, where we'd read our text verse. You'll find in number verse 15 now, Nehemiah and his blessing. He got to see something accomplished. Now, I am goal-minded. I'm goal-oriented. I found this out. If you don't have a goal in life, you'll never make a goal. And I'll promise you that. Everybody needs a goal. Whether it be I'm going to read my Bible through this year, or I'm going to dedicate myself to pray every morning and every night. I wish we had some Daniels that still pray three times a day. Open the windows up to heaven and get a prayer through. Amen. You'll notice he left the windows open because he might have had to get back to it. I can tell you some good instruction today. Don't shut your windows down. Won't take long. You'll be needing something back through them. And so he kept his windows open for the good grace of God. But certainly now we'll see this blessing. He's got a goal that has happened. He had a burden. He's led a group of people to build a wall. I love some things about Nehemiah in leadership. We need leaders in our churches. Can I tell you, churches rise and fall off leadership. It's not a one-man show, honey. God runs the show. But it takes a man full of God to listen to God and lead the people toward God. And then he needs some people to stand with him for the glory of God. Amen. And you ain't got to vote on doing right. You ain't got to vote on having God. Oh, I sure am glad this morning that Nehemiah was a great leader. A lot of churches, they're not looking for leaders. They're looking for puppeteers. They're looking for somebody to give them a little sermon, check out at 12 o'clock, and go stand the rest of the good Baptists down at the cafe. But ain't you glad it still is a few folks around that ain't worried about the Timex? Amen. Ain't you glad it's still a few folks that'll preach and tell you what thus saith the Word of God? Matter of fact, in the book of Amos, God said in the last days it'd be a famine in this land. Not a famine of bread and water, but a famine of hearing the Word of God. We're there today in this hour. A lot of people think that you're crazy sitting in a church where a preacher will get loud. A preacher will sort of undo his tie and run around us, be who God called him to be. Somebody help me this morning. And so certainly Nehemiah got in on a blessing. Matter of fact, you'll get in on a blessing if you'll get a burden. God, give our church a burden. Thank God that side's full. I've got a burden for that side. You say, preacher, when will it happen? When the good Holy Ghost nudges our heart, that's when it'll happen. Until then, we'll sit in the choir, we'll sit on an organ. I like what one of the members said, I don't care where I got to sit. I'll stand on the outside, I'll put a can against the wall, long as I can hear the reading of the Word of God. I wish some of you would get interested in the Word of God. I wish some of you would get interested in the things of God. It's not who's up preaching it, honey. It's still the Word of God. I'm glad the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. I'm glad it does something in me. There's been many times in my life I've come shot out and blowed out, but somebody'd open the Word of God and give me something in my life. Thank God for singing. I love good singing. Good singing to set up good preaching. Somebody say amen right there. But honey, let me tell you, this country's in the mess, not cause of heart preaching, because of the lack of preaching this morning. Boy, Nehemiah got in on a blessing. I sure am glad when God gives you a burden, there can be a blessing come along with it. I thought about this morning as our brother come up the steps. Don't know if you noticed or not, but he's not hardly running them as fast as I am. He's a holding on and he's getting one step at a time. And there's no telling how many times the devil's told him to quit singing. No telling how many times the devil's told him it's not worth it. But he's got a stage full of grandbabies up a singing under the glory and the power of God this morning. And can I tell you, that's worth every mile of the way. Hey, that's worth everything the devil will breathe down your neck to know your children sitting around the power of God and filled in the presence of God. It's worth everything for God to give you a burden and let it become a blessing. So Nehemiah got in on a blessing. The wall was finished. I love what he does. The Bible said in verse number 15, the wall was finished the 25th day. I told you it had been down 150 years. They put it back together in 52 days. And the Bible said, verse 16, it come to pass when all our enemies heard thereof and all the heathen that was about us. Matter of fact, let me tell you that they had heathen about them then. We got heathens about us now. Heathens ain't just now come up on the scene. Amen. And let me tell you, they've always been around. They were about us, saw these things, as much cast down in their own eyes. I love people talk about us. Amen. You down there at that running, shouting, slobbering preacher. Thank God. Hallelujah. I just preach by myself this morning. People will talk about, I tell you what you might as well do. You might as well go and throw your hands toward heaven. You might as well go and enjoy the good presence of God. They done seen your car down here. They know you down here. So you might as well make good time of it while you're here. Somebody say, somebody help me preach a while. Thank God, honey, it ain't mothballs under the pew. Thank God it's not mossbacks in the closet. Thank God we got the glory of God in our church. Can I tell you, honey, I'm glad for a burden that'll turn into a blessing for the glory of God. I bless Him and I praise Him. He said when our enemies heard of it, you know what He said? You know what this kind of vernacular told Him? He said, we hacked them off. Your enemies would love to see you fall. Them folks that talk about you, it ain't what they call you, it's what you answer to. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. It ain't what they call you, it's what you answer to. Somebody acting crazy, you can get crazy in a hurry when you let this flesh talk back. Amen. And so here we see Nehemiah. I got to hurry. The finished wall. There's a goal that was gratifying. Aren't you glad when God will let you reach some goals in your life? There was a group that was grieved. I'm glad the devil was hacked. But there was a God that was glorified. Look what they said. They said, my God, think thou upon Tobiah, Sambalat, according to these works. He said, and on the prophecies of Nodiah, He said in verse 16, our enemies heard thereof. All the heathen that were about us saw these things. They were much cast down their own eyes. For they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. People tickle me. Would you tell us how to build a church? I can tell you one of the first key ingredients. Get out of the way. And make a lot of his son, and he loves to hang out them kind of places. You know what they said? They said, we've talked about that crowd, but we done found out God's in it, so we better hush about it. Amen. Why don't you just leave things alone and let God handle it? Why don't you quit being judge and jury and just let God handle things? See, God will have the last say. Just let them talk and yak. God will have His last say. And so we see in this blessing here with Nehemiah. Am I doing okay, young? And say amen. The finished wall. Chapter 7, verse 1, the fervent watch. He told them something. What a great leader. Now I want you to notice what He's fixing to do. He's fixing to get out of the way. He's done what God's called Him to do. And he realized God's not called him to preach, God's called him to build. Now God has different ministry for different people. And I'm going to tell you what, I can't be all things to all people. All I can do is be myself and do what God's called me to be. Now you might not can preach, you might not can be a soul winner, but I tell you what you can do. You can do what God's called you to do. Now notice this, not only the finished wall, but there's a fervent watch. Chapter 7, verse 1. It came to pass when the wall was built, I'd set up the doors and the porters and the singers and the Levites was upon it. And I gave my brother Hananiah and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. Now watch this. He wasn't doing it because it was a quota. He wasn't doing it just because he was successful in business, but because he was a faithful man. And he feared God above men. And that'd help a lot of Baptist churches to read that verse right there. And before they appointed leadership, they got in on that verse. And first of all, they was faithful and he feared God above men. Somebody help me now. A lot of folks set aside and ordained deacons because they're successful in business. But that don't mean that they filled with the Holy Ghost. Am I doing all right? You know, before I left Pepsi, they got to want me to fill it up with quotas. And that's just sickening. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what color your eyes are. I don't even care how ugly you are. If you can do the job and qualified, you ought to get the job. And can I go and tell you, in the house of God, it ought not be on no buddy relationship. And let me go and tell you right now, get your eyes off this preacher. Get your eyes off this preacher. And get them on God. Greater is He that is in you. I don't live in you. Well, who's preaching tonight? It don't matter. Get your hide to the house of God. He's preaching out of a King James Bible, and I guarantee you this, it won't be a woman preaching. And I guarantee you he'll be carrying the right kind of Bible, and he might not be as loud as you used to, but honey, if it's the Word of God, it's worth coming to the house of God for. Some of you got me up on a pedestal like a ballerina. What you need to do, we need to wrestle under the flagpole a few hours. I'm glad you love me, but I ain't God. Now quit looking down. We ain't praying right now. We're preaching. I done heard you. Brother Ken, you running the meeting this week? If you are, we ain't coming. Well, what you here for? Give me five, Brother David. Let's have tag team preaching, Brother Tim. Put a little right there, Brother Adam. Where's my other deacon boys at? Give me a high five right there. You're still young, amen. Stand up, old deacon. You can still do high five. Hallelujah. What are you talking about, preacher? You ought to be here under the preaching of the Word of God, whether I'm preaching or he's preaching or he's preaching or he's preaching. You ought to be here to get you some help in your life out of the Word of God. I'm glad my people love me where I pastor. Don't get that wrong. But you quit putting me up on a pedestal. If I ain't here, you ain't a coming. What y'all gonna do when I die? You done about half killed me now. I'm done bald-headed. You pastor church long as I have, one of two things happen. It goes gray or bald. And I got both going on. Then you'll have disc replacements with titanium screws in your head. Because you're beating your head against the wall on Sunday night. And then Wednesday night, you're just having... I ain't got a word to say it. Am I doing all... Hey, y'all turn around and say, he's preaching to you. While I'm right there, let me clear the water. Didn't he say in the book of 1 Timothy to do the work of an evangelist? Now, aren't I the main missionary from Liberty Baptist Church?
Brother Ken gone preaching again.
Well, isn't that something? I quit my job to babysit you. I'll be there. We'll buy a plane ticket to come back and bury you and marry you. And if you need counseling, call Macy. Yeah, man. Well, chapter 7. I don't know where all that come from, but it felt good while I got here. I feel better now. I've washed the laundry a little bit. Do y'all use Tide? Somebody say amen. Some of y'all need to use Crest to help you grill. Somebody say amen. A fervent watch. Now watch this. The rulers he promoted with no quotas. God showed him who to put in charge. Faithful men. Feared God above many. Then look, watch this, verse 3. Not only the rulers he promoted, but the rules he proclaimed. He said this, I said to them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened till the sun be hot. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them. You know what he just said? Watch this, it's going to be real deep. This is going to help somebody. You ready? He said, you lock them doors. Don't you let them in till the sun gets up so we can see what they look like. Boy, ain't you glad God shined a glorious light about you and let you in. Glad I didn't come in the dark. A lot of people say, well, what's this church about? Jesus. We like to do things in the light. What you see is what you get. I've had people join that talk to us in the chapel. Me and Miss Vanessa, I want to know something. Is that church really like that? What you see is what you get. You can wear your overalls. That don't offend me. Thank God for a good pair. I wish I had me on a pair this morning. I don't care if you ride in on a mule and buggy. I'm glad you're here. And I'm going to tell you this. It ain't no big ones and it ain't no little ones. And that's the way church ought to be. Let me tell you who the biggest one is. He's never had to reach up because he's the highest. He's always reached down because we is the lowest. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we see on this second point, Nehemiah in his blessing. The rulers he promoted, the rules he proclaimed. He said, I want you to let them come in by the light so we know who they are. And then the regard he prompted. Look in verse 3b. He said, let them shut the bars and bar them and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everyone in his watch. And watch here now. And everyone to be over against his house. Look, if you won't look about your stuff, who will? There's a man told me in business one time. He said, Brother Ken, let me remind you, ain't nobody going to look about your stuff but you, like you. And we all have a charge to look about our house. Our house. Matter of fact, if we'd sweep the doorsteps off our house, we wouldn't have time to be worried about our neighbor's house. Am I doing okay on preaching on Sunday? Did y'all come to have preaching and just be little socialites? And he said, I put every man a watch after his own house. He didn't say a woman, did he? And some of you ladies hadn't got a husband to watch. I appreciate you being here watching. Young'uns, let me tell you something. If you got a daddy that won't watch about you and you get in a bad place and you need somebody, you call me and Miss Renee. We'll come see about you. And that little boy will pull over and tell you he's going to put you out. You just be sure you got your cell phone and got your preacher loaded in there. Am I doing okay, Mom and Daddy? A little boy is not going to pull up in the driveway and blow his horn. My little girl will go out. He's going to come up and I'm going to look at him. Some of you need to quit letting your young'uns meet them down there in the Piggly Wiggly at midnight. You need to let them have their hides at home in your bed where you know what they're doing. These little thugs running around, their britches down, their hats sideways. They can't get a job because they're too busy holding their britches up. Don't y'all date nobody like that. If the boys' britches won't stay up, leave them alone. And if he's wearing skinny jeans, leave him alone. Yeah, man. If he ain't a good pair of Levi's or Lee, just leave him alone. The regard he prompted over against his house. Lastly, the finished wall, the fervent watch. But chapter 8, verse 1, watch this. They got it together. They come to meeting. There was fascinating worship. I sure am glad I can go to church where we can worship God. in spirit and in truth. Can I tell you this? Gas is too high to drive to a dead church. Boy, I love worshiping God. Now watch this. A fascinating worship. Verse 1, He had unified people. And all the people gathered themselves together, look here, as one man. I like what the old writer said this morning. He said, we must all hang together, or assuredly we shall all hang separately. We need each other. And we need to be together. Now the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that is before the water gate. Watch this. Not only the unified people, but look at their urgent priority. In verse 1, they spake to Ezra the scribe to bring the book. They didn't even have to ask him what edition to bring. Just bring the book. Let me tell you, it's the King James book for our day. We don't need to change book. Would y'all help me preach a little this morning? I want you to bring the book. Now watch what happened. Nehemiah's got out of the way. He's put Ezra, let him do what God's called him to be. He was a scribe, a preacher. He's put him in. The unified people, the urgent priority. But watch this in verses 2 and 3. This unconventional practice. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. Now watch this. Y'all think I'm long-winded? You ought to have Ezra as your preacher. And he read therein before the street that was for the water gate from morning till midday. 6 hours. He read the Word of God. What about that? What about that? Watch this. They didn't have a padded pew to sit on. They stood in the town square and listening to the reading of the Word of God. 6 hours. Why? Nobody even went to the refrigerator. Nobody took a smoke break. Well, now y'all get quiet. I get mean on you. I've seen people go looking at their watch at 12. I know what time it is. I put these glasses on. It's 10 after 12. But just 10 after 11, 3 miles that way, so we got plenty of time. Unconventional practice. We're so spoilt, aren't we? Y'all just tickle the far out of me. I mean, I study all week to preach, and you think I can get it out in 30 minutes? I just can't do it. I run rabbits 35 minutes. Their unconventional practice. Then look in verse 4, their uncompromising pulpit. I like what they done, Brother Randall. Brother Jake, Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood. Watch this, which they'd made for the purpose. Wouldn't no drama team, our neighbor. We like the old pad. Now, preacher, you know, we can't build a ministry without all them lasers and lights and all that dancing going. Well, I'm going to tell you, God's doing a pretty good job, looks like to me. They built a pulpit of wood. That's where it come. That's where the idea come from. And I like this. He stood on it. There's a lot of folks done quit standing on it. Does anybody like preaching? Now this is going to get better. You ready? Their uncompromising pulpit. But verse 4b, look, their undisguised protection. And as the scribe stood, and watch this, underline it, and beside him stood. He gives the names on his right hand and then on his left hand, these men stood. I like people stand with their preacher, don't you? It's bad, sir, when you won't stand with your preacher and your wife does. Sir, it's bad when preaching gets you mad and your wife says, boy, that was good preaching. Undisguised protection. I'm glad I got some folks with me this morning. Look, he opened the book. Look what he done. Their united patronage. Verse 5. This is where we get it. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Boy, I tell you, if it's ever been a day and a time that we ought to be honoring the reading of the Word of God, it is today. I wish our country could honor the reading of the Word of God. Their united patronage. Verse 6, their uncommon praise. Watch this. Did I tell y'all can raise your hands in church and be Baptists? And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. Can I tell you what they was doing? They lifted up their hands and they bowed their heads in worship. Who told you you couldn't say Amen in church? Sure does help the preacher. Brother Gerald's trained dogs, and I know Brother Mark has, and Brother Felton. You know, when little old fast dog's on a cold track, you ever notice somebody hollering at him how it'll pick up? And he'll get at the base of the tree. Anybody know Brother Jonathan McNeese? You ought to see him on video hollering at his dogs, treed at the tree. You know what they do? They tearing the bark off the tree. You know, it'd do you pretty good to holler at the house of God, and the preacher may tear the bark off the tree. Matter of fact, there's some bark need to be tore off the tree, amen. I'm not talking about mean preaching. I'm just talking about straight loving preaching. Just the way it is. We in a mess, folks. And if God don't help us, we in a big, big mess. Lastly, you'll notice here that they honored the reading of the Word of God. They stood up. They said, Amen, Amen. Lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Verse 8, so they read in the book in the law of God distinctively and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Lastly, they were a unified people. They had an urgent priority. Bring the book. They had an unconventional practice. They stood there 6 hours listening. They had an uncompromising pulpit. They had an undisguised protection. People were standing with him reading the Word. They had a united patronage. They stood up. They had an uncommon praise, both hands waving. But lastly, they had an unconditional power. You know what that is? Look at it in verse number 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet. Miss Julie, I want you to come to the instrument, if you would, and sing. And send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry. Here it is, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's a unconditional power. Did you know in Romans chapter number 14 and verse number 17, Paul's writing and he says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, isn't it something that he told them that the joy of the Lord is their strength? Can I tell you today that if your joy is in money, what's going to happen when your money runs out? If your joy is in a job, what happens when they walk up to you and says, we don't need you no more? If your joy is in people, and don't get me wrong, I love people. Whether y'all know this or not, I love you. I do love you. And there's a lot of you here bring me a lot of joy. But you know what? There's something going to happen to that. We're going to leave out of here. So will my joy be gone? I'm pastoring one of the greatest churches in America. I know that. And I believe that. But what if God tells me in 20 years, Ken, you're done? Is all my joy gone? My wife. We done something Monday I don't know we've ever done. We took off to Wee Dowie, spent two nights together and just enjoyed each other. Never been able to do that. She brings so much joy to me. And I'm serious. She is one kind lady. Miss Joy, she's been so good to me and my girls. Sister Becky, I know you love Daddy and Mama. They're going to leave out. Preacher, say something. Grandbabies, Brother Harold and Miss Joyce won't be there to bring that joy. But can I tell you, only Jesus can bring you that joy. See, happiness are in... It's all caught up in happenings. But joy in the Holy Ghost. Brother Lee, I'm glad I've got joy inside me. If you don't have joy in you, you know how to get it in you? Get rid of you and get filled with Him. He sure will help you another mile down. Some of you are bogged down in your troubles today. Do you need power? What only comes in Jesus. I sure am glad He can give you joy. You know the saying, joy comes in the morning. Isn't that what the Bible said? Joy cometh in the morning. You know why? Because He's a-coming. That is our joy. Won't you gather around this altar this morning as our sister's saying,